It's entitled Encounter Jesus, the Resurrection and the Life, and it's from John 11, 1 to 44. And I think I was asked to say that, in case you don't recognize us by the parts that we read or the way that we look, this man is Jesus.
Sorry.
What do you mean?
Needs to be longer.
Needs to be longer. Maybe. No. Maybe. That's all right. You look great. And Mary is Mary. And Nelson is the narrator. N-N, narrator. And I am Martha. My middle name is Marie, if that helps. So we will read this. We'll all get as close as we can here.
I guess Nelson and I are supposed to share this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I'm glad somebody got the instructions.
That work?
Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus.
Lord, the one you love is sick.
This sickness won't end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples,
"Let's go back to Judea."
"But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back."
"Aren't there 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up."
I don't know who D is.
The disciples.
His disciples answered, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep.
"Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him."
Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
"Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask."
"Your brother will rise again."
I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
"I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world."
After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
"The teacher is here and is asking for you."
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet.
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
"Where have you laid him?"
"Come and see, Lord."
Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
"Take away the stone."
"But Lord, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days."
"Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up.
"Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come out!"
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face.
"Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Okay, good morning. We've been looking at people who have had an encounter with God, with Jesus, in these stories. We especially want to look at this story where Martha, Mary, and even Lazarus have an encounter with Jesus in this story. Just a reminder, I looked up again how we can understand what it means to have an encounter with Jesus. And this is what I found from this is from the Archdiocese of Seattle. We can enter into a relationship with the Lord through real and authentic experiences. And we can recognize that he's present in our lives and in the lives of others. So, for the Bible characters, they had these real and authentic experiences where they met God, met Jesus face to face, somehow experienced his righteousness, his goodness, his love, his healing power, and realize that God has come close to us. And our last outdoor service was all about each one of us or many of us sharing how we had a real and authentic encounter with God in all kinds of different ways. So this morning we want to look at this particular family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I wish they had a last name so I could just say the Gordons or whoever, instead of having to say Mary, Martha, Lazarus each time. But one thing we learn here and in other scriptures is it seems like Jesus had an ongoing friendship with them. There's something special about this family that he seemed to spend a lot of time with them, had a deeper relationship with them. So when we think about their encounter with Jesus and what we can learn from it, it seems like there's two really divergent ways that they had encounters with Jesus. One is they had an encounter with Jesus through ongoing friendships or an ongoing friendship with him. And we could think about that for our own lives. Would that describe our relationship with the Lord, that it's an ongoing day-by-day friendship? And the other thing about their encounter here was really on the kind of the other end of the spectrum, they experienced the glory of God in a very specific way in this story. Beyond just their ongoing friendship, in this case, it was a really powerful experience of God's glory. So first of all, just a couple of thoughts about Jesus as the friend of these three. We can see it in this scripture because the message that comes to Jesus in the beginning is, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Or we could translate it, "Lord, your good friend, Lazarus, is sick." And then a little bit later it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." John's really making the point that there's a special friendship here. As we think about Jesus' life and who he related to, clearly he had this really close relationship with his disciples. And that was how he wanted to kind of announce and create this movement that the kingdom of God's coming near. specifically through this day-by-day relationship with his disciples. And it also says Jesus was a friend with tax collectors and sinners. So he, think about that for a minute, what that looks like. So Jesus would have these encounters in a very friendly and hospitable way with those who many of the religious people would say weren't worthy of that kind of friendship. But they tended to be, well, and we don't know. Maybe Jesus often went to a particular household of one of these people that he met along the way. But Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are the only people besides the disciples that we get a sense that Jesus had a regular friendship with. Like there was something about that. And maybe it's because Bethany was so close to Jerusalem that whenever he went to Jerusalem, these were his hosts. These would be the people he hung out with and stayed in their home. But there was something special. When we think about friendships, there's a bond of affection there. It's a safe place to open up and share deeper issues of our hearts. And there's these people that just have a significant place in our life. So think about that. Can we think of Jesus in that way in our own life? That there's a bond of affection there, that it's a safe place to open up and share the deeper stuff of life. That it really feels like there's this ongoing connection that is a really significant part of our life, friendship. And in this particular case, we even see that Jesus shared their grief. Even though clearly Jesus had a purpose in all this, he couldn't help but get caught up in their grief as a human friend, you know. He knew the outcome, but still grief gripped his heart because he saw his friends in that inner turmoil of grief. So friendship. Our friendship can go beyond just this formality with God of like feeling like we have to pray in the King James language with God, somehow kind of keeping that distance with God. So that's the first challenge of the scripture, I think. So even with this friendship that these three people had, they were still able to recognize that Jesus was worthy of respect and honor as Lord. You know, just that very statement, Lord, your good friend is sick, captures both of them. We want you to know about your friend, but we recognize you as Lord. And actually, we want to come to you as the Lord, the one who seems to have authority over illness, to come and join us. Now we kind of want to transition from this friendship to now this understanding of Jesus' power over death. So Jesus finally makes his way towards Bethany. And it's, I don't know if you picked up on this, but there's a statement. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I don't know if that struck you. Like, if they're such good friends and Jesus loves them, why is he hanging around for 2 more days? The natural reaction as a friend would be, let's go. You know, I want to get there as soon as I can to help out my friend. It becomes clear that while Jesus loves these people and loves Lazarus, he also has bigger plans and purposes for this whole story and Lazarus' illness and death. And he says, this sickness will not end in death, but is for God's glory so that the Son of God may be glorified in it. And he goes on to say, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that so that you may believe. So, something's going on here where Jesus really wants to bring forth, an understanding of truly who he is as the Messiah. Whenever, this can be helpful for us, whenever we're faced with a situation where we wish God would have intervened in a particular way, but he didn't, and we're disappointed in the way God seemed to intervene or not intervene. Martha steps forward here with really great faith and a really great model for us. She says, Lord, when she meets him upon his arrival, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, that's what I wish would have happened, that you would have come, you would have healed my brother, and would all be good. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Like, things didn't happen the way I want, but I still believe, Jesus, you're not helpless in all this, and I still believe that your purposes will be accomplished. I don't know what that is, but I still trust you, even though I'm disappointed. I still trust you, and I still believe God has a place in all of this. We read this at prayer group on Tuesday, and I said by Sunday I want to understand when Martha said, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I wanted to figure out if she really believed that and wanted Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. Is that what she was saying there? God, I still believe you can do whatever you want with God's power. And I have to tell you, I never got an answer to that. Because there's things that Martha said later that she still doesn't seem to believe or imagine that Lazarus can rise from the dead. But there's this general attitude of faith there, like, I'm disappointed in what's going on right now in life, but I'm still trusting you, Lord. Like, Jesus, whatever your will is, I still believe that that's going to be accomplished, whatever that looks like. So Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha answers, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So that was a common understanding of the Jewish people, that there would be a resurrection on the last day, and they were hopeful that the Messiah would come and bring that all about. You know, so that's not unusual for Martha to say, yeah, I believe there's going to be a resurrection on the last day. But this leads the way for two very powerful statements to be made here by Jesus and then by Martha. Very central to this whole good news. And John puts this story together and tells it so that we understand in the midst of this Lazarus resurrection that we come to know Jesus as the resurrection and the life. All throughout John's gospel, he's giving these signs, and I think there were seven signs that would show how Jesus is bringing God's glory. Anybody know in John's gospel, what was the first sign that Jesus was bringing forth God's glory? Anybody know which sign or miracle that was? What was that? Yeah, at the wedding of Cana, the water changing into wine. And, It says in John chapter 2, what Jesus did here in Cana was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And now this is like the climax, the biggest sign, so that people would see God's glory in Jesus, and so they would believe. So that's the bigger picture. That's what Jesus wants to accomplish through all this. And in the midst of this, He wants to continue to show love and friendship to his friends. And so here's the two big statements. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. You know, one of the most powerful statements given in Scripture. And then Martha replies, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the one who has come into the world. In John's Gospel, this is like the most powerful confession by the characters here of who Jesus is. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we were in the book of Mark, and it kind of leads up to Peter saying, when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ. Mark's story leads up to that big announcement. In John, Martha is the one who has the big confession of who Jesus is. And I'm surprised when I think of Martha, and maybe this is true of you. Do you think of Jesus saying, Martha, you're so anxious and concerned about these other matters. You're not thinking about what's most important. Like Mary over here, you know, that's when I think of Martha, that's what I think about. The one who's too busy to really sit at Jesus' feet and honor him. But maybe we can think about Martha here saying, Jesus, I believe you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. You're the one who was to come into this world and save it. And so Jesus says, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I'm going to bring resurrection and life to people, but I am resurrection and life. Like, that's who I am. And anyone who comes to me, anybody who believes in me, who turns themselves towards me, will experience resurrection and life. Because that's who I am. And if you believe in me, you will live even though you die. So Jesus is saying, I have the power over death. Death is not going to be the final word in your life. Your physical death is followed by life. And Martha got that. You know, she already said, yeah, I do believe that there's going to be a resurrection on the last day. But then Jesus also says, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. A statement that in Jesus, for all who believe and turn to Jesus, eternal life starts then. For any of us who have come to this place of belief and surrender and trust, eternal life has already started. And we're already experiencing resurrection. We're already experiencing life in our lives, like right now. Maybe not fully, but that life is already emerging in us. We're experiencing it, and we're going to experience it forever together with Jesus. I'd just like to kind of finish up by explaining or making a connection here. So eternal life is ours now. That's what Jesus is saying. And he also talks a lot about glory. So there's some kind of connection, it seems, between receiving eternal life and experiencing the glory of God. Jesus is soon going to face his own death and resurrection. And before that happens, he prays and he says, Father, the hour's come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. You've granted him authority over all people so that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So I've brought your glory into this world, and now, Father, glorify me with the glory you've given me from the beginning. So eternal life has a lot to do with experiencing, seeing, living this glory for ourselves. Paul tells the Corinthians, it's like we're jars of clay. We're ordinary jars of clay. There's nothing holy or special about us. But we, in Christ, we have this glory of God in us, in these jars of clay. It's from God. It's not from us. So eternal life is seeing, being able to recognize this glory and start to have it emerge in our own lives. So this is what I believe resurrection glory looks like as it's growing in us, as it's shining in us. we experience life overcoming death. Whatever situations in our life or in our church that are dead, Jesus can bring life to it. Things in this world that are dead, Jesus can bring life to it. In God's glory and resurrection, love begins to overcome hate. Forgiveness begins to overcome bitterness. Righteousness shines instead of sin. Humility comes up instead of pride. Our minds are transformed and reset. We no longer want to gain the whole world and forfeit our souls. And we continue to complete the work of Jesus and shine His glory for the world to see. So resurrection, power, and life are ours today. So here's a thought to conclude. Some commentators make this connection between the parable of Lazarus and this story. If you remember the parable of Lazarus, he's a beggar at the on the sidewalk of this rich man, and ignored and treated terribly by this rich man. The rich man dies, goes down to the place of the dead, and he sees Lazarus in heaven, in God's glory. And he wants someone to be sent back to warn the people, not to have the same fate as him. And this is Jesus' punchline to all that. If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. The story of Lazarus' resurrection in our story today, is like a parable. Here's the life that Jesus is bringing. Some are going to believe, some are not. Even if Lazarus is raised from the dead, even if Jesus is raised from the dead, some are not going to believe that. But to all who believe it, experience resurrection and life. So that's the encounter. I just encourage you towards encountering Jesus in that way and encountering Jesus as a friend day by day, just like these three people did. Amen.